Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This week on Blitz Bills, come on, is Josh Allen really the sixth worst quarterback in the NFL? Plus, our barkeep is back to talk tight ends and which Bills draft picks will kill it this year. So sit back and crack a cold one. It's time to get blitzed. Welcome to Blitzed, where we talk NFL and rate popular drinks at the same time. Rookie minicamp has just ended and OTAs are days away as the NFL prepares for its 100th season, which is as good a time as any to announce the start of our third season here at Blitz.
Hey! We did it.
I mean, who would have thought 2 years ago when we started this thing that today we'd have tens of listeners across the nation?
Tens.
It just goes to show you, folks, alcohol really does give you delusions of grandeur.
It certainly does.
And now, let's introduce our hosts.
Introducing tonight's starting lineups. The coach.
Seriously, I did not know about this. This is so awesome.
The sub.
Stop staring at me. You're making this weird.
And stats.
I'm just the stats guy. I have no idea.
That's kind of my thing.
Tonight marks our third season on the air. We told our Blitz barkeep to make us something special, but he was so busy, he just sent me an email that read, drink beer.
Oh.
And I got to be honest, Delicious. Guys, this may be the best drink he's ever made for us.
It's pretty tasty.
It's not May. It is the best.
It really is.
Ever.
You know, note
for
to,
him.
Note to barkeep. Take it easy every once in a while.
Hey,
you know,
less,
you're working too hard.
Yeah. Less is more, baby. Less is more.
Mailman.
And he may not have time to make us a drink, but he's always got time to talk about the Bills. So let's welcome our Blitz barkeep. Hey, barkeep, how's it going?
Hey, hello.
What's going on, guys? How you been?
Real good.
Yeah, drunk. Okay, so let us ask you. So despite the ballsy move to make the switch from offensive tackle to tight end, former Bengals tackle Jake Fisher was cut by the Bills this week. So was this a smart move considering Fisher was a dual threat and the Bills need some tight end help?
I'm going to say the jury's out right now. I don't think that it's going to hurt us in any way, shape, or form. Cutting a guy that moved from tackle to tight end, he probably could have brought something to the table, like you said, as a dual threat. He's a good blocker. He could probably get down the field and catch the ball. But we drafted Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss, and the team is extremely high on him. He flew under the radar, believe it or not. He actually scored zero touchdowns in college, but he knows how to extend the field. He's got amazing hands to catch a ball, and I think it's going to be a perfect target for Josh Allen because he can actually run down the field and get a little bit farther down. He's quicker than Jake Fisher is going to be, and I think that our team is going to be good with blocking on the line there. We just picked up Lee Smith again. We signed him to a multi-year contract. He's considered one of the top blocking tight ends in the league, you know, underrated as well. I think that what the Bills are going to be doing now is possibly moving into more of a two tight end set where you have blockers and pass catchers on the line. And I think that we've, you know, secured that position pretty well with free agency in the draft.
And you got to get a guy that can catch for Allen. Those short little outs or whatever else for the tight ends do, that's such a good thing for quarterbacks.
Yeah, we picked up a bunch of other targets for Allen, too. It's like we got Cole Beasley from Dallas. So he's a nice slot receiver, so a safety blanket there. You got John Brown, who's going to extend the field. I mean, I think the guy that we drafted, Dawson Knox, I'm one of those people that's extremely high on him. They had him ranked in the second round, and we actually got back into the third round to get him.
Nice.
I think he was going to be going shortly thereafter, but he's a guy that just he's a burner. He can catch the ball. He's a football player. He's somebody that blue-collar like Buffalo wants, and they were extremely high on him. So I think once we drafted him and we were able to get him, and then we brought in somebody like Lee Smith, I think Jake Fisher became expendable. I mean, I don't see any big loss with that. Honestly, I think I heard from you guys that we released him. So.
Wow. Yeah. So barkeep, SI.com just came out with its QB rankings, and despite being the most exciting quarterback in the AFC East, Josh Allen was ranked 26th in the NFL, just behind Mitch Trubisky and ahead of Joe Flacco. My question is, what are the national media not seeing when it comes to Josh Allen?
Well, it's funny because I actually had the I was fortunate enough to talk to Josh Allen's junior college offensive coordinator. And when we spoke, he said one of the biggest problems with Josh is that a lot of people put him down for his lack of completion percentage. And if you actually think about it, he throws the ball so effing hard that the receivers are actually not used to catching the ball that hard. I know they're multi-million dollar receivers and they should be able to catch the ball if it's thrown to them. But when you have a guy that, I mean, I'm just going to put this out there, Dak Prescott, for instance, he doesn't zing the ball like a Josh Allen. He's not a gunslinger. But what the OC that I was talking to from Josh Allen's junior college talked about was his completion percentage is actually so skewed because of how fast he throws the ball. He gets it there so quick that the receivers oftentimes aren't ready for the ball and it's dropping off. It's not that his completion percentage is off because he's inaccurate. Sure, he'll have an overthrow here and underthrow there, but if you actually count the number of drops that he's had and put that together with the adjusted completion percentage, he was over 60%. So I think the national media likes to trash Josh Allen just because of that completion percentage, and they all want the accurate quarterback, and they want this and they want that. Josh Allen is known for this big arm that he can throw the ball 75 yards in the air. But I think what we're doing now is we're actually going to be showcasing Josh Allen, the quarterback, a little bit more this year because, like what we talked about, we signed Cole Beasley. We drafted a couple tight ends. We got another kid from Boston College in the seventh round that they're actually really high on, who's a dual threat, like you said before. But I think the national media really just doesn't see Josh Allen as a full-blown quarterback just yet. But I really think that that's how he likes it. He's going to come in this year and surprise a ton of people.
Okay, Barkeep, we're going to get you out of here on this. So across the board, draft experts gave the Bills high grades for the draft. Despite that, which of their top picks do you think might have the biggest challenge adjusting to the NFL?
I think Ed Oliver is going to be a stud. I think he's going to jump right in. He's going to blast those double teams on the line, and it's going to actually open up our QB pressures a bit more. Our defense is going to be absolutely fantastic. Cody Ford is a mauler. We had him graded as a first-round pick, and we ended up trying to get back into the first round, but the price was too high from everything that I've heard. So we waited into the second round, and he sort of fortunately fell to us. The Jaguars took Jawan Taylor, and we ended up getting him because we thought the Jaguars were going to take him. So we traded back up a couple spots, and we ended up getting him. I'll be honest, Devin Singletary, I didn't know a lot about him at first, and I was kind of annoyed because we have a stable of running backs already. We have like 17,000 running backs in our backfield, and they're all over the age of 35. But the more I read about it, the more I really liked the pick. He scored 66 touchdowns in college, and he was the NCAA's leading tackle breaker, I guess you could say. He led the NCAA in broken tackles. So he never really was hit. He's almost like a miniature Shady McCoy. I just hope that his personality and behavior is a little bit better, that he likes his kids.
Wow. Great commentary.
Heard it here first. Yeah. Heard it here first.
So I think, honestly, out of our top three rounds, I think the biggest one that's going to have the hardest adjustment is Dawson Knox. But I think he's going to have the most upside out of anybody. If he can learn the game and he can become that security blanket and stretch the field for Josh Allen, he's going to be one of those Travis Kelce-type tight ends. And he's going to be one of the most valuable weapons that Josh Allen has. And he's going to be best friends with him. I mean, they're just going to be BFFs.
Nice.
And that's pretty much the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But he's so raw. You know, at the tight end position, he's raw with everything. I think he needs to learn the position and get the speed of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think once that happens, he's one of those under-the-radar guys that's just going to explode on the scene and be something awesome.
Yeah, but I think Barkeep with that I think that's why this Lee Smith signing is so important. He's now a veteran. He's, you know, he left the Bills initially. Well, the Bills picked him up from the New England Patriots in 2011, right? Played four seasons, then went to the Raiders. Now he's coming back. He's a locker room guy. He's a guy that's not going to demand the ball or want the ball. He can block, but he can catch some passes. So having a young rookie to look up, this guy's an established veteran in the NFL, shows how to be a pro's pro, doesn't need the limelight, just do your job, kind of bring your lunch pail. And if he has that as an example going forward, I think that'll help your team a lot too.
I think that's going to be that's a great point. And I think the worst part about that, we were talking about the national media with Josh Allen, is, you know, we're still projected at 6.7 wins. And we have the 30th ranked strength of schedule. Like, we have one of the easiest schedules in the league. I know, we have to play New England, barf, twice. But we also get to play Miami twice. We get to play the New York Jets twice. And everybody, you know, everybody's bowing down to the Jets this year, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if we got four wins off of the Dolphins and the Jets. And then we have a really, really, I don't want to say a cake schedule because it is the Bills and we will do something Buffalo-y to mess it up.
You'll jump off an RV onto a picnic table.
But the national media is giving us no love. We're one of those teams that's flying under the radar because you nailed it on the head. We brought in some veterans that are going to be those mentors for the younger guys. And especially like the Ed Olivers, we have Star Lotolule. We have Phillips, who's back there for the second year. I'm sure Kyle Williams is going to be around in the locker room to help build him up a little bit. You saw it in the draft. Both Cody Ford and Ed Oliver were amazed and happy and ecstatic to be drafted by Buffalo. They said they wanted to be in Buffalo. Nobody ever said that before. Like they didn't. Nobody wanted to be in Buffalo. But now all of a sudden, everybody's starting to want to be there. That defense is going to be scary next year.
What all your
coaches?
And coach
I think that we did it right this year.
Your head coach is talking about changing the culture, work hard, blue collar. And I mean, you just had your mini camp last week, and they picked four guys up to go to the big camp, right? And that's just through hard work. He showed the guys who were working hard at that camp, right? So to change the culture, lunch pail gang.
I really think that they did it right. They have a nice mix of veterans. They have a nice young core. Everything is getting younger in Buffalo, but we're talented. And I think 6.7 wins is easily achievable. I think we're going to surprise a ton of people and make the playoffs this year. And that's not just me being biased as a Bills fan.
That's not just you being Buffalo-y.
Whoa,
I hear you.
Yeah, I'm not Buffalo-y as a verb.
Whoa.
Well, I was going to answer the question why.
The national media.
Sub, shut up. We got to go. All right, Barkeep, that's all the time we got for you. My beer's done. You know, you're done. Your recommendation. So that's our build. That's our Blitz Barkeep.
Well, you need to come back up to the bar and ask for a refill.
I like it.
Yes. If only you were available more.
I know.
My God.
Brutal.
Give me 2.5 weeks, and then I will be your personal barkeep once again.
We love you, barkeep.
Beautiful.
Thanks very much.
Beautiful.
We're gonna we'll cut you loose to go and absorb your life.
Oh man, I don't want to do that yet. I'm having too much fun here.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
If you'd like the recipe for his latest drink and want to find out what we'll drink on our next show, just visit blitzfootball.com and check out our Blitz Barkeep's blog, which is called Coach.
Behind the sticks.
Jesus.
I almost lost it.
You're amazing.
I almost lost it.
Let's move on.
Second down.
In XFL news, Tim Tebow was approached recently by XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck to gauge his interest in playing quarterback next season. Apparently, Tebow rebuffed him, telling Luck that he was committed to baseball, where he's currently batting a whopping 130 for the AAA Syracuse Mets. What movie do you think best represents what was going on in Oliver Luck's head when Tebow told him that?
Should I go first?
Go for it, buddy.
Sub.
Hey, hi, welcome. I think thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, right.
I think that the movie that best represents this is not an entire movie because it's just too ridiculous, is one scene, a defining scene in one of the maybe greatest films ever made.
Oh.
Picture two gentlemen walking down the road near the end of the film. Everything has happened. And a bus full of swimsuit models pull up.
Hey, guys. We're going on a national bikini tour, and we're looking for two oil boys who can grease us up before each competition.
You are in luck. There's a town about 3 miles that way. I'm sure you'll find a couple guys there.
And they, in a moment of complete, utter...
Well, normalcy for them.
Well,
idiocy.
Normal for them. Idiocy. Dumb and dumber.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to go dumb and dumber. This is the scene, to me, quintessential scene of the movie, where they turn down the swimsuit models, Hawaiian Tropic swimsuit models, to send them down. There's a town.
Yeah, I know.
10
I know.
Miles
you're
that
in luck.
Way. You're in luck.
Oh, God.
And that's what I think. That's how I think he feels. The commissioner of the XFL asking Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Just that question. That's the only thing I can see. Because this is, like you said, Stats, it's a spoon-fed opportunity to go back into a league to play the sport that you've told everyone for the last 10 years that it would listen, that you love the most.
And it's tough because ratings-wise, it would have been a boon for the XFL.
Oh, of course. And if
he
gets some back-end deals or points on that, or who knows what he would have been probably one of the highest-paid or the highest-paid player in the league.
Absolutely.
Presumably. And I don't know what AAA baseball guys are making, but I like riding a bus.
A lot of money.
Yeah, riding a bus to upstate New York and then, you're on the bus for 182 games or 162 games a year. I don't know. There's so many baseball games. Goddamn, who knows?
Thousands.
And playing in front of tens of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather.
I know.
I think the XFL learned some mistakes from the AAF, and they'll right the ship. You have the money, you know, a billionaire backing them. So I don't know. I think my movie is Dumb and Dumber, or that scene specifically in Dumb and Dumber.
Works for us.
Yeah. Coach,
I'm going dark. I'm going dark in this one.
Please.
I am. Because I just, you know, you see the AAF, and it obviously didn't work. And we can talk, we don't have to talk about why it didn't work. But I just look at that and go, well, if Tim Tebow won't come, damn. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, because, I mean, the guy wants to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't appear like it's going to work. I know baseball players could take a while, but he's really there because of his name. I mean, 130, I mean, that's tough. I don't care how many, what's your slugging percentage off of that. I mean, it's still pretty ugly. So,
dude, 130 in AAA means you're going to AA.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So he's on the wrong path.
Yes.
Right. So I just think, like, the guy that's going and saying, oh, I want Tim Tebow, and he rebuffs you. To me, I don't know if you ever saw the show. It was called The Road. And it was just dark.
Wow. Like, that is so good.
All I can think of was just, what's hopeless?
Oh.
You know what I mean? You're here, and I don't want to get too much into the plot because it's actually pretty
it's
pretty depressing.
That is the saddest movie I've ever watched. I was like, there's got to be a
but
something.
But think about, you're like, you're this guy, and you've got this kid, and again, I won't go too far into it, but it's just like, you just feel like, oh, I can't make it.
You ain't got to do this to me. You ain't got to do me like this.
You don't mind doing it to us?
I'm begging, please.
Papa.
It's a good boy, man. I can't stop it.
I'm going to leave you just the way you left us.
We can't make it. You know what I mean? It just won't work. And it's just so painful. And I'm just like, if I can't even save this one, what are we going to do?
No, but then though, this is where I'll agree with you, Coach. The scene where they find the secret hideout.
I know.
Filled with food and hot water and showers.
Heaven, basically.
Wi-Fi still. And fresh everything. And he is, the dad, so paranoid of being staying on the road that they leave because he hears some scratching at the secret tunnel door.
And just absolutely
Stats, have you
blinded.
Seen this movie?
No.
This part where it could have
sounds
ended
really
they,
depressing.
It's bad.
There is
it's bad. I mean, we only need to shut it down right now.
Like,
it's just so bad.
Like, Shawshank Redemption was like happier movie.
Oh yeah.
Can I lighten the mood a little bit? It's fucking depressing in here.
Like, Schindler's List was a happier movie than The Road.
No, sup. Sorry. Just shut up. Let's move on. I'm going to go with Ferris Bueller's Day
Off. Oh, yes. Love it.
Okay. It's a classic movie from the 80s about this super popular kid from Chicago.
Yeah.
Decides that it's just too nice a day to waste by doing something as lame as going to class in high school.
Incredible. One of the worst performances of my career, and they never doubted it for a second. How could I possibly be expected to handle school on a day like this?
So he manufactures a series of clever stunts and machinations to fool every adult into thinking that he's deathly ill. You know, all the while, he's out there having the time of his life, going to a Cubs game and eating at upscale restaurants and ripping around in town in a Ferrari with his girlfriend and his best friend in tow.
It's pretty good.
And the whole time, you're watching this, thinking, I love this guy. I mean, he's smart, he's funny, everyone adores him, and everything always just works out for him.
Right?
Just like Tim Tebow.
Oh. Whoa.
Take it easy.
Whoa. Hey,
did I cut you off?
Well, I did, you did. Yes, yeah, you really did.
Well, you had a shitty movie. Okay. But that's not where this ends. Because when I saw this movie, I was blown away by Ferris Bueller.
Yeah?
In fact, I thought that the actor who plays Ferris, Matthew Broderick, was going to be the next huge Hollywood star.
Yes.
I mean, this is how iconic and lovable a character Ferris was. And this is what Oliver Luck had to be thinking. Tim Tebow, the person, is just like Ferris Bueller.
Ooh.
Everyone, let's stop touching your mic. Fuck, subs. What the fuck?
Sorry.
Unbelievable.
Sorry.
Tim Tebow, the person, is just like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Everyone loves him, and everything just seems to work out for him. But Tim Tebow, the athlete, he's more like Matthew Broderick.
Whoa.
A great actor played by boneheaded decisions. He should have been like way better and way bigger than he actually is.
He should have been like the rom-com king.
Thank you.
Right?
Instead of following up Ferris Bueller with blockbuster hit after hit, Broderick went on to star in dying quails like Lady Hawk,
dying
Project
quails.
X, and the Biloxi Blues, which I suppose were okay.
Yeah.
But none of them ever came close to the hype of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So Luck had to be thinking.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Matthew, he's not even a guy now in his elder age.
No, he is. The producers.
Is he?
Yeah, the producers with Nathan Lane. They made the movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And then went to Broadway. He's now on the back end producing stuff.
Oh, as a producer, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, but he's in the movie, The Producers. And it made a buttload of money, won a lot of Tonys. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
married
Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's what every actor's after in the movies.
The EGOT.
Winning Tonys.
The EGOT.
Yeah. No.
So what you're saying is no,
but
he's not popular.
Wasn't that John Hughes's last film?
Who cares?
Well, he's the director made the guys famous. He could have been the next Judd Hirsch. Judd Hirsch?
Oh, he could have been the next Judd Hirsch.
Is that his name? Who's the guy from
the Wow.
You're looking at me.
So this is my point exactly. He could have been the next, I don't know who the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, guy.
That's a great point. Wow.
Breakfast
Sub,
guy?
I'm just going to dim your mic here because you're making no goddamn sense at all.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Third down.
The NFL and Buffalo Bills lost a dear friend recently. He was funny, humble, smart, passionate, and he loved his Bills. He was the kind of fan we all strive to be, loyal and dedicated through good times and bad. And he never had a bad word to say about anyone. Ezra, Pancho Bila Castro, you will be missed. Last year, we had the fortune of interviewing Pancho on our episode on Superfans, and he was simply one of the best guests we've ever had. So, we're re-airing that interview to honor one of the great fans and humans we'll ever know. And that's worth shouting about. Viva Los Bills. Pancho, great to have you on Blitz, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Much Buffalo love to all the Bills Mafia and everybody in Buffalo, to you guys. Thanks for having me on the show, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, let's get right down to it. It takes a crazy kind of personality to become an NFL super fan. So what did your parents do wrong?
Well, they didn't drop me for sure.
Protect the rock.
No, well, being the third son out of four, you know, my dad pretty much gave up, you know, like, hey man, whatever, you know, choose a team, do what you want to do. My oldest brother, he got screwed. He's a Cowboys fan, so he had nowhere to go, you know.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Yeah, I know. So, in a way, it's a blessing, you know, being the third born, because my dad was like, all right, whatever team you want to choose, you know, go ahead and pick a team. And I said, all right, man, I'm going to choose the Bills. I love the logo. I love the colors. True story, I chose the Bills over the Patriots, to be honest.
Well, yes, played. Well played. That's why you're
excellent
here, baby.
Choice.
Yeah, I wasn't digging the guy in the three-point stance in the 80s, you know. I was like, ah, you know, right, little weak. Yeah, so I chose the charging logo and, you know, been a fan since about 86, 87. And thankfully, you know, my parents didn't drop me and I really screwed up because then. Yeah, a whole different story.
So how did you decide that you were going to take your fandom and turn it into super fandom?
I'm originally from El Paso, Texas, and that El Paso is in Texas, and it is in the United States of America, so I am American. no, everybody's gonna be like, wait, that's so close to the border.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of swap meets down there, and I saw a wrestling mask there one day, and the guy wanted $20 for it, and I was like, there's no way, dude. I'm probably the only Bills fan in El Paso. I'm not going to pay you that much for a mask. And, you know, I was like, I ended up haggling the guy down to like under $10 or something. And
nice.
I said, you know, I'm gonna wear this mask to the next game I go to. And man, sure enough, you know, it just blew up. I mean, people were digging the mask and loving it. And I ended up wearing it to the Hall of Fame game 2008. And it just got more attention. And I was like, man, this mask is doing a lot of things here. And I met a lot of Bills fans and took a lot of pictures. And, man, one thing led to another, you know. I bought the mask. I said, man, I got to find me a sombrero to go with this mask. found the poncho. And before you knew it, man, things were falling off a truck in Mexico. And, you know, I'm just,
that's,
you know,
just awesome.
Here I am, Pancho Villa, all dressed up, decked out. And, you know, that's how pretty much Pancho started.
And so now you've got all this notoriety. So what responsibility do you feel to the team and the fans to keep them pumped up?
You know, for the city and the organization to really open their arms up to me, I mean, it's a huge responsibility to me. I mean, and it's something that I knew I had in me before the organization knew I had in me. I've always been a Bills fan. When I chose them, I said, this is my team forever. I lived through the four Super Bowls, the huge mm-hmm. drought, mm-hmm. ups and downs. I mean, there was no going back. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm Bills for life. You know, it's given me reassurance that I chose the right path, pretty much. And, you know, the support that my family's given me on it, it's reassured them. Because they've also felt the love that I've gotten from the city and the organization. I've always represented the Bills well. You know, I run the Bills backers here in Dallas-Fort Worth. They love me. I love them. I treat them like family. Every visiting city I go to for an away game, they all accept me. The fans from everywhere just, you know, love the Pancho character, and I love them back. I take the time, even if I'm late to my seat, I'll take the time to take every picture and visit with every fan. So, and it's sort of, you know, like the organization with the players, you know, they give their time. I mean, I sort of feel like I got to give my time back now too as a fan. And that's what I did. That's what I do. And like I said, I feel like I chose the right path now. Back in the 80s.
So tell us, Pancho, do you think you've ever affected the outcome of a game?
No.
You can think of it that some more.
He would have ended the drought a long time ago. Jimmy Johnson would have caught that pass in Pittsburgh, or, you know.
That's awesome.
No. And not every prayer I've ever said has affected the outcome.
Yeah,
of the game.
No,
I will tell you what, I have gained a lot of respect from other teams' fans at cool. games, and wow. I've obviously gained a lot of respect from Bills fans at games for, you know, like, hey man, you're the only one cheering our whole section type thing, you know.
Cool,
even though the game was over at halftime, you're still standing up. You know, but no, to answer your question, I don't think I've ever changed. I was even praying against Jacksonville this last year. You know,
yeah,
like, oh
sure.
my gosh, we don't have 3 points on the board. Like, come on, yeah. here, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wish I could. Jeez, I'd rewrite history in a second.
That's awesome.
Okay, so tell us about the NFL draft and how that whole opportunity came up for you.
Man, you know, bless the Bills Mafia. When I got diagnosed with cancer in November, they really rallied behind me. I knew the draft was going to be in Dallas like late September, early October. And I looked at my good buddy, Pinto Ron. I don't know if you all know Pinto Ron. And I said, man, it's in Dallas. It's my hometown. I got to be a part of this thing. Mm-hmm. I got diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And Bills Mafia decided, hey, it's in Dallas. Let's get Poncho to call a pick. And they started the hashtag Poncho's pick.
Right on.
It really started picking up. Yeah, it really started picking up in January of this year. And every day, I'm sure you guys saw that, you know, the NFL was getting blasted. Bills, all these PR people with the Bills were constantly being tagged with it. You know, get Poncho on the podium to announce a pick. That night at the draft, 30 minutes before about the Bills were going to call the pick, I asked our inner circle rep if it was going to happen. And she said, Poncho, I've got no word from the NFL, no word from the Bills. Andre Reed and Fred Jackson are both here. Yeah, they're both here. One of them, they're trying to figure out who's going to call it between them two. And so I'm like, all right, you know, hey, that's totally fine with me. I'm front row. I'm with my Bills backers here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I can't ask for anything more. I mean, I'm at the draft, you know, only 50 Bills fans up front. And so when Fred and Andre came out, I mean, really, I thought it was not going to happen. Like, there's no way. It was out of my mind. And then all of a sudden, Fred Jackson blasts my real name and unmasked the luchador from Mexico.
Unmasked.
So no, Fred, but you're
rule
my boy.
Rule number one.
Yeah. You know, and out here I'm thinking like, hey, you know, the Poncho pick's not going to happen. At least they're acknowledging me, you know, that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I just finished chemotherapy on Wednesday, wow. And I'm here on Thursday, Friday, wow. And Saturday. I wasn't going to let it hold me back and stay at home. Wow. I'm here. They're acknowledging me. You know, much, much respect right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Poncho joined us on stage. And
oh,
I'm like, I don't know if I walked or floated. My girlfriend carried me or what. Or,
wow.
You know,
oh, wow.
All of a sudden I'm walking upstairs and I'm on the stage and I turn around and there's about maybe, 25, 30,000 people just looking at me.
Wow.
And I get handed this jersey, and I'm like, wow, I'm up here, man. You know, and I was fine right there. I was fine with that right there. I was like, man, they've acknowledged me. I'm on stage. I'm emotional because of the things they said about me prior going up and, you know, trying to hold it in, be the macho man. And, and Fred all of a sudden says, you know, hey, we're going to let you call the pick.
Oh, man.
And, man, I mean, yeah, I mean, right now I'm getting chills about it.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah, so am I.
And seriously, the one thing that was going through my head is, one, don't screw it up. Be a professional. Two, look at the name. Make sure it's not a Tongan or Samoan or some crazy name that I can't pronounce. I'm going to botch or something, you know.
Manalala Huma.
You can imagine the headline, Poncho botches, you know, 96 kick.
I'll
be that. Yeah, that would have broke the internet, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just, you know, I want to represent the Bills. And I always thought about it, you know, from January to then, if I ever got called, I'm going to be professional about it. I'm not going to start speaking some crazy Spanish, you know, stuff and going crazy. And I said, no, you're going to just do your job, get up there and announce the pick.
Oh, man.
You know, that's what I did. And I did revise the card, though. The actual draft card says the Buffalo Bills. And I wanted to say our Buffalo
Bills.
Dude,
I noticed that.
That's awesome.
I noticed that. I was going to give you props for saying that. That was awesome.
Yeah. I want to get Del Reed to do like a 26 shirt that says our Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
How cool would that be, right?
I like it.
Oh, man.
And,
okay.
Hey, Poncho, let me ask you here. How tempted were you to announce yourself as the third round pick?
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You know, man, pretty close. I wanted to send the draft Poncho Villa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Put me in, coach.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That would have broken the internet.
Yeah,
too,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Poncho drafts himself.
Yeah. Man, I'm good.
Yeah.
So now, good. Again, because, you know, I've seen some of the past drafts. And, you know, some of these fans, you know, they take advantage of that microphone. And it's sort of sad because I'd hate for a fan in the future to lose that opportunity because of another fan. And I didn't want to be that one guy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Especially representing the Bills. And I said, no, man. You know, like I said, the months before, I was like, if it happens, you got to be professional. Don't botch the name. Be cool, you know. Be sure you thank Bills Mafia. Be sure you, you know, thank the people that are there. And So, yeah, man, trust me, I would have loved for the Bills to draft him. I couldn't mess it up. I hope my experience expands it from the NFL's point of view, that they start allowing more, not just super fans, any type of fan that, you know, deserves that recognition.
For sure.
To be up there and announce it, you know. I mean, it's a third round. I give Goodell the first round, okay. But, you know, second, third, I mean, third's, you know, big. Hey, let the fans be a part of it. Third's, if it wasn't huge for us, you guys wouldn't be around. So. Yeah.
Hey, Pancho, I got a question for you. It's Cooper. Like, how are you tied to Harrison Phillips from now on? You're going to be watching this guy like a hawk? Like, you drafted him. I'm guessing it was your pick. You picked him.
Because it wasn't the Bills' pick.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Bills' pick. Yeah. You went off the board.
I announced him. No, man.
Why'd you pick him?
What'd you see? What'd you see?
Because the name was easy to read.
Yeah.
yeah, I know, right? much respect to Mr. Phillips. He actually reached out to me, I believe, within like 36 hours on my Twitter account, and he private messaged me and said, you know, that I made his experience, his lifetime day experience, you know, even better. And
cool. Wow.
I've been in touch with his family too, and it was funny. They wanted to take me out to dinner, but I told them, I was like, I don't live in Buffalo. They had no clue. You know?
Wow.
And I was like, no, I live in Dallas.
Too bad.
Yeah. I've been in touch with him and with his sister, and they've been really nice. You know, he's real supportive on my birthday, which was on May 31st. You know, he gave me a huge shout out. I mean, the Buffalo Bills tweeted that video. I don't know if you all saw that.
That's awesome.
And, you know, he kept his promise. He said, hey, the Bills are sending you a package from me, and, you know, hope you get it soon. And
wow,
sure enough, a few days later, you know, a big old box from One Bills Drive, and it had a football and some a cancer hat signed by him, and, you know, personal note as well. So, oh, yeah, that's in my little man cave.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome.
Don't.
All right. So, you know, it's I mean, apparently he's the next Kyle Williams, and I can't wait to see the guy get on the field. So, I'm excited for him to be on there. Yeah.
Cool, man.
All right, Pancho, we'll get you out on this. So a new brewery in Buffalo has come up with a drink called Tom Brady's Tears. If you had to make a drink for Tom Brady, what would be in it?
Tom Brady sits when he pees. That's what I would call it.
That's what you'd call it?
You know, maybe some kind of like a lemonade type of...
Nice.
You know, it interesting fact. Pancho doesn't drink. I don't drink. I know that's a weird, interesting fact about
me. All right.
But I am a taster. I like to taste drinks. Like if someone tells me, "Hey, have you ever tried this drink?" I'll taste it.
Okay.
And if I was a drinker, I love the way a White Russian tasted.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So something of that nature, of yellow. That way it goes with the name, and, you know, bam, it'd be a top seller for sure.
I like it.
That's Tom Brady sits when he pees, and it's a nice kind of like...
Call it a yellow Russian.
It's a faint lemonade, like you can barely taste.
That faint, there you go, man.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Did I just make
delicious.
The next drink for some bar?
Probably. You made it for our bar. It's great.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pancho, it's been a huge pleasure having you on Blitz, dude. You know what? It's been fantastic talking to you and hear about your stories, and everything we've heard about you is true. You're an awesome dude, and you represent the Bills in a fantastic way, man.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, man. And thank you guys, and I'll continue to represent the Bills till I die, buddies. I promise you, and viva los Bills.
Viva los Bills.
All right. Nice. Take care, Pancho.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
Fourth down.
The NFL and HBO haven't chosen a team to be on Hard Knocks yet. Who would you want to see and why?
It's easy.
Oh, coach.
Easy. Patriots. 100%.
Are you serious?
God, yeah.
There is no way on earth I want to see more of that fuckwad Tom Brady.
And no, I just want to see the uncomfortableness.
Really?
Because how uncomfortable would that be? Because everyone would have to be like straight laced and controlled. It would just be contrived.
And that's why they would never happen.
They would never do it because it would ruin the show.
Yes,
it would end. But just I just
never
think
never again.
Right? Because there's no way they could be themselves.
No.
There's no way they could show personality. You know,
there's
just no way.
Would just be silent.
Oh, I know.
That's all you would watch. All you would hear is the odd tweet.
I know.
The Patriots were on it.
No, they weren't.
Hard Knocks.
No. Never.
No, they would never do it.
Never.
And I was thinking about like,
are you thinking about Pete Carroll's Patriots? Because that could have happened.
That could have happened.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells.
Parcells wouldn't have allowed it.
Yeah, he wouldn't allow it. You're right. But anyway, it'll never happen. But I thought if it could ever happen, I thought it'd be fascinating. If it was legit.
Yeah.
If they could actually do it legit, I think it'd be fascinating to watch how that organization runs their day to day.
Do you think so? I think it's really boring. I think it's Belichick telling people what to do, and if they don't,
I don't know.
Jimmy cuts them.
The thing is, I don't know what it is.
No. Coach just wants to see the show end, and he thinks that if you go one episode and maybe like 8 words are said over the course of an hour, he's like, football's really fucking dull.
That'll for sure end this show.
Sub, what do you got?
I think the 49ers, especially this year. Garoppolo coming back. Okay. You got a lot of good draft picks. See what they're going to do. It's a competitive division. I mean, the Cardinals, too, could be up there. You got the whole new coach, number one draft pick. What's Kyler Murray going to do? But I think you see that. I mean, like, it worked well for Cleveland, I guess, when they did it with Baker. But it's you know, new coach, new players, new whole new system. But, yeah, I think one of those two teams would be what I would go for.
The question also is this good for a team? I mean, the teams that have done it, and I have done, of course, zero background on this. But, I mean, the teams that have done it, have they done good or bad?
Well, the Ravens, I think,
that'd be a huge distraction.
What I think it is good for is the players, that you see them and how they work and how they –
for some of them.
Teams, some of them get picked up after the show. Defensive lineman last year from the Browns that got released, and then he ended up starting for the Buccaneers all season? I mean,
Carl.
I mean, I think for some of the players, the peripheral guys for sure, right? I think it can be a distraction or – It's like, I mean, look at a team. You love these guys. You love the player J.J. Watt. And then they did the show, Hard Knocks. And everyone's like, oh, this guy's fake. He was playing up for the camera. He doesn't really help old ladies across the street, blah, blah, blah. Everyone has to have a problem with the guy being nice. So it can be detrimental to who you are as a person. And then that gives a lot of fodder for other teams you're playing against. You know, give you a hard time about stuff.
If you were a head coach, would you want to be in Hard Knocks?
No, absolutely not, because you can't swear and yell and be a spaz when you're in front of the camera.
Which is a great point, because I'm going to say who my team is.
Oh, really?
I would like to see the Oakland Raiders be on Hard Knocks. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
First of all, Gruden's a fucking nut job, so it'd be awesome. And he's great for TV.
Yes, he's been on TV.
Exactly. So he's totally comfortable with TV cameras floating around the place. You know he would play up a bunch of shit going on.
Do they have a new receiver that's interesting?
No.
I don't know. Efforting, looking into that.
Stats?
Yeah, exactly. Stats guy. But I also would love to see behind closed doors what his relationship with Mayock really is. That would be interesting. Yep. There's a lot of questions around that. Plus, everyone forgets that they brought in fucking Perfect. That would be amazing to watch because that guy's going to rattle up the defense anyway.
Oh,
and he's probably going to take a shot on some receiver during camp.
And Gruden doesn't even care. Gruden's like, oh, yeah, we've had Romanowski. We might as well bring in Perfect. Let's bring it back old school. Let's see what he's got. Break someone's arm.
Totally.
Is QB Carr, is he the guy? Does he have that projection? Do you see that behind the scenes? I don't know.
Plus the fact that you know that every episode of that, Mark Davis is trouncing in there with his fucking Dumb and Dumber haircut, holding up plans in the new stadium going, I can park my car here, John, and you can park your car. Oh, we haven't left yet. Okay, fine, sir. I'll just come back later. It would just be brilliant. I would love to see that.
Like,
we don't give a fuck about Oakland anymore. We are moving to Vegas, but let's hype Vegas, but not let's not pay too much homage to Oakland.
I don't think you're too far, that still bugs me.
Yeah, but I don't think you're too far off. I think Oakland is going to be the team on Hard Knocks. I mean, everything's pointing to
that. Well, their season's, you know, whatever.
So well, they're not going to win at
all.
That's
what I mean. Whatever. Yeah. You know, that just makes them hype for them for their move to Las Vegas.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
In fact, I bet you a couple of the episodes, they'll probably take the team to Vegas to show them what's going on.
No.
They'll probably practice there a little bit.
Show some
construction. Just a nice little FU to Oakland.
Yeah.
That still pisses me off. Anyways.
Well, it's holding a city hostage, right? I mean.
Wow. I think it's just a dick move. But that's an iconic city for football. It is Oakland football. It is that. Like, that's. That's the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it was the election, the taxpayers and the tax base in Oakland did not approve the new stadium. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, NFL football is the only major sport, too, that like the owners don't have a say or put their own money into building it, right? So we're relying on the taxpayers. And if they say no, I mean, what are you going to do? Is Mark Davis supposed to pay out of his own pocket and build his own stadium to stay in Oakland?
Who makes the money from it?
The city. Well, the city, they pay the lease and the city, and then there's other events playing there. I don't know.
Anyways, Oakland's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to go Oakland's a good call.
I don't know. Is there an actuary on staff? Like, can we...
Nice. Let's run the numbers, stats.
Yeah, let's do that. Generally speaking, the owners do bear a portion of the cost of building a new stadium, and they tend to do some public financing to get them in there. But it's built, the trade-off is that the owner generally reaps most of the revenue, but they say that the economic benefit of building a stadium and all the ancillary businesses that surround the whole thing...
And they want to keep it there.
This is getting way too fucking
boring.
Serious.
It's
for
boring.
God's sake. Jesus.
You're boring.
Christ. Yeah.
You're boring.
We're all boring.
You're boring. You're boring.
You know what, Sub? You bring out the boring in me.
Thank
you. Gotta be honest.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a beer.
That puts a wrap on this episode. Big thanks to the Blitz Barkeep for coming on to talk about the Bills draft class and for his insight into Josh Allen's progress. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next time on Blitz.